the voice of Christ. Father, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Shake the hands of someone. Welcome them to the presence of the Lord. And be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome them to God's presence. Please and be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you have breath, praise the Lord. Amen. We are looking at secrets of resources of financial multiplication, part 2. We began our study from last Sunday, where we began to look at why exactly do we need to talk about money in the church. You know, the church, the Bible calls the word of God the word of life. I think that was Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, there about. It's a holding forth the word of life. So this word of God is meant to teach us every aspect of life. Anything that belongs, that pertains to life. Marital life. Relationship life. Career life. How to work in the workplace. Financial resources life. Every department of our lives. For a long time, we focused on how to make heaven, which is very important. How to live righteous, extremely important. And abandoned other areas of life that will make life on the earth meaningful. So we don't talk about marriage as frequently as we should. And Christian marriages, all manner of terrible things happening in homes. And so it is important. So we looked at, why is it important to talk about finances in church? We saw about 7 reasons why financial dominion helps descend. First, that when someone is financially strong, it helps them to serve God without a distraction of lack. Lack is a distraction. Secondly, we saw that financial dominion helps us to truly love our neighbors as ourselves, the less privileged. You'll be able to do something for someone like you will do for yourself. Like that man who sent a member of the House Fellowship's child to the same school. He's training his own child. Helps us. Thirdly, that financial dominion helps us to fulfill dreams and visions that God has placed in our hearts. The dreams and the visions that God has placed in our hearts. Whether it is kingdom dreams, personal dreams, life dreams. Fourthly, that financial dominion helps us to spread God's kingdom in the earth. Evangelistic crusades, Pakistan, Maiduguri, Awka, Calabar. In none of these places was an offering taken. Welfare was done, medical outreaches. Millions were spent, was spent to spread the kingdom. Fifthly, we said that financial dominion helps in the building of God's sanctuary in the earth. Churches are built with money. Sixthly, we said that financial dominion helps us to serve as voices and forces for the kingdom of God in times of need. Where the kingdom comes under pressure, under confrontation. People who have voice and have force, they stand in the defense of the kingdom. Number seven, we said that financial dominion serves to witness the goodness of God to the unbelieving world. Unbelieving brothers, unbelieving sisters, unbelieving friends, they see the goodness of God in your life. they are convinced that God is good. And so we looked at all of that, and we shall be taking this matter to the next level. So, we said that offering is good, giving is good, fighting is good, excellent, very critical. But they were not enough in terms of multiplying resources. There must be financial management wisdom to multiply resources. And we began to look at all those things. And so began to give counsels. Number one, don't spend everything. If you are going to multiply resources, if you are going to walk in financial dominion and abundance, don't spend everything. Number two, be investment minded, not expenditure minded. Investment minded, not expenditure minded. Don't let your mind be centered on what to spend only. Poor people think of what to buy. Rich people think of how to make more money, multiply money. Number three, we said maintain financial order. We saw that financial order is the way of financial wonder. This percentage belongs to this, that percentage belongs to that. You don't interfere with what is business to you to spend on your personal, on yourself. There is a capital that is business, there is fund that is business, there is money that belongs to the business, and there is one that belongs to you. Counsel that you could place yourself on a salary if it comes to that, to ensure that the business is allowed to breathe and allowed to grow. We looked at all of that last Sunday. Today we are going to number four. We started looking at it already. Number four, maintain financial records. Maintain financial records. We saw that records is a very, very critical aspect of life generally. The Bible is a book of records, the book of genealogies. Orderly records. In the beginning, God created the earth, heaven and the earth. The first day, this happened. Second day, this happened. Third day, this happened. Moses gave us detailed record of the tabernacle. God gave Noah the detailed record of the ark, what to build. Everything that is important is made up of records. You go to the military, there is military records. Medical records is a whole department of, it's a course. BSc, medical records. You go to an established medical place, they can trace the record 20 years ago. The presentation of a patient, records. An aircraft has the record of its maintenance for the last 15, 20 years. Every maintenance, every single one. Records. And as it is in every realm of life, so it is in personal finances, records. You look through the Bible, see the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We mentioned that in the first service. And then you look at John chapter 2 verse 6, how it was recorded. There were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, records. In John chapter 21, verse 10, after Jesus resurrected, and he saw Peter fishing and so on, and he gave instructions for cast the net to the right side, and he caught fishes. The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes. The Bible should have said plenty of them. But they gave the exact count of the fishes. 153. And for all, there were so many, yet was not the net broken. That is the record of the inflow, the record of the supply, the record of the income. It was accurate. It was there. What is the benefit of records? I will not go over what I said in the first service. I'll just go straight because of time. First, records facilitate accuracy of covenant practice, which facilitates supernatural supplies. The accuracy of covenant practice. Records facilitate it. The accuracy of covenant practice, which facilitates, which guarantees supernatural supplies. For example, if your income was 1 million and you thought it was 500,000, you are going to tithe 500,000. You have not tithed correctly. You have not tithed accurately. You are not expecting nothing. You won't expect supplies from heaven. There are people who say, I pay tithe and I give offerings, but I don't see the results of my tithe and my offering. Most times it is inaccurate. Sometime in my life I was experiencing a leakage. I won't get into this tonight. I've said it before, but I won't say it today. A leakage in my supplies. I was tithing, I was doing all the things I should do, but I wasn't seeing the results I should see. Only for me to realize that there was a leakage somewhere. You know what I'm talking about. What should have been 100,000 was 80. What should have been 50 was 30. When the Lord showed me that leakage, and the leakage was blocked, and giving and tithing became accurate, the explosion was instant. So you need the records to be sure that your practice of the covenant is accurate, so that your expectation can be in place. Number two, records enhance financial progress plan. Financial progress planning. You need to know the exact state of your resources, the exact position of your accounts, the exact position of what you have, to be able to plan what you need to do. Plan the covenant practice, plan investments, plan even welfare and so on. Because you can't give what you don't have. In Proverbs 27 and in verse 23, the Bible said, look well, be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks, know what you have, look well to thy herds. Be accurate to understand exactly the position of your things per time. This is very, very important. In the first service, we have said that records will help us to avoid financial recklessness. It imparts caution. We said that as our second point, wisdom and caution, which makes us to avoid financial recklessness. Records will help us to appreciate God the more. You appreciate what is coming, and then appreciation brings multiplication. But look at that. 1 million entered your hand 100 times and you didn't know that was 100 million. And you never knew. Somebody gave you this gift. Somebody, you got this from here. You got that from here. You didn't identify them record wise. You become careless and wasteful. You think what you see. When Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes, there were 2 baskets that 12 baskets picked. That is what you will call change. That 12 baskets is change. Fragments. As the fragments were gathered together, they became 12 baskets. For many of us, the fragments around our lives that we have not recorded, that we have not accounted for, is the reason for a lot of loss. I believe it's a new day for somebody. If you are the one, say loud, amen. So, maintain records. Number 5, do what you know. Know what you do. Do what you know. Invest in areas of knowledge. Trade in areas of expertise. Don't just go into things because everybody is there. Do what you know. Know what you do. Someone say a loud amen. I am going to say 2 things very quickly. Number 1, the area of your knowledge is the area of your breakthrough. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 20. He said, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up. If you are going to break through, it's going to be connected to an area where you know something. The area of your knowledge is the area of your breakthrough. Secondly, where you are knowledgeable, there you are marketable. Where you are knowledgeable. In 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 27, the Bible said, and Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen, that had knowledge of the sea, were the servants of Solomon. They were looking for who to send on the ship, and they had to send shipmen that were knowledgeable about sea matters. Where you are knowledgeable, there you are marketable. Trade in the area of your strength, the area of your knowledge. Invest in such areas. Example, we saw John and James. They were fishermen. But they were fishermen who learned fishing from their father. Look at Matthew chapter 4 verse 21. Matthew 4 and in verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Mending their nets. And he called them. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, you will see more details. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. So they had employees. It was a big fishing company that had employees with hired servants, and went after him. So they grew up in a big fishing company that had employed staff. And because that was what they knew to do, they followed their father in that trade. Am I communicating? Even if they are introducing a new business to you, try to know it, understand it, study it, know how it works, know the mechanism of its profitability. If this thing is rewarding, how does it work? People have lost money because they were introduced into things they knew nothing about. They had no idea. Somebody say aloud, amen. Is anybody getting anything at all? It may be something you learned in school. It may be something you didn't learn in school, but you are naturally wise in it. You have natural understanding in it. And in case you found yourself in a trade, in a business, in a career, in a profession, learn about it. Learn it. Doctors go for refresher courses every now and then. Pilots are required every 6 months, every 1 year, to go back to refresh their flight training and recertify themselves. It's very, very important. Do what you know, then know what you do. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. I knew a man who, as far as I was concerned, was the best sonographer, ultrasound doctor that I knew at that time. This man can use the ultrasound to find anything. And he was very wealthy because they sent patients everywhere to go and scan there. I said to him, I said, what happened? How did you gain such level of expertise? He said he went for the knowledge. He had traveled around the world. He said if he heard that there is so and so person who is very vast, he will travel there. He will pay thousands of dollars. He will go to Singapore, go to Pakistan, go everywhere. He said he once studied under a man who had 7 PhDs in ultrasound. Ultrasound scan. And this one is gastrointestinal ultrasound, central nervous, whatever. And he studied under the man. And he will come back home. And he was an expert in the field. If he scans for you and he says, this is it, go to sleep. That is it. He was making more money from the scan than the other hospital practice. He was a general physician. But the scanning was the flow of the income. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your knowledgeability is your marketability. The area where you know is the area where you will command resources. Do everything you can to do what you know and know what you do. Try to ask questions from people who know more than you, who can do it more than you. Try and ask them questions. In the name of Jesus, I see help coming for somebody. If you are the one, say aloud, amen. If you are the one, say louder, amen. If you are the one, shout the Lord most, amen. A young man was testifying in the first service how he had no job, and he was looking for food to eat. He began to eat garri every day until he comes to church on Sunday, when he will eat welfare food at the end of the service and continue eating garri every day. Then one Sunday in church, he had a prophetic word. And that prophetic word landed on him. He was not listening. You know, at times people can be so poor, they can't pay anything, including attention. But his sister tapped him and said, this word is for you. And he said, amen. They invited him for an interview. That's the young man there. He presented his credentials. He has a BSc. in biochemistry and molecular biology, BSc. But he went further and got certificates, health and safety standards certificate, this and that and that. And when they were looking, I'm sure they saw that certificate. And they said, you are the person we are looking for. And they made him the safety supervisor. I don't know if it's a construction company. And made him the safety officer. Because they saw that he was knowledgeable in that realm. Am I communicating at all? If it is commodities, learn it. If it is finance, learn it. Whatever it is you want to invest in, study it, learn it. Study how it works. Study how it does not work. And I believe that it's a new day for you. Somebody say aloud, amen. One of our young men just stepped into properties and it just exploded financially. And I said to him, what happened? Because it was so sudden. He said that is what he wanted to do all this while. And so he started following people. Solutions don't lack provision. To offer solution, generational solution, is to attract generational provision. Also, to offer answers is to attract supply. Kasema Ikolanda, to offer answers is to attract supply. No two ways about it. Look for problems to solve for people, for humankind. Look for questions to answer. What made Joseph a wealthy man? Genesis chapter 41, verse 39 to 44. In fact, verse 38. Pharaoh had a question. And that question was a question that all Israel had. All Egypt. 7 years of famine will follow 7 years of plenty. Pharaoh, Egypt, had a question. Had an impending problem. Joseph had the solution. Gather the food in the 7 years of plenty. Make storehouses ready. Make supervisors of the storehouses. And when the 7 years of scarcity starts, begin to distribute the food. The solution Joseph provided wiped out poverty from his line and generation. Don't look for money. Look for meaning. Look for meaning. Meaning to make.
Don't struggle for income to make income. Struggle to make the difference. Somebody say a louder amen. Solution.
I heard that in the 60s, some Americans went, I heard this story from Miles Monroe of blessed memory. Some young Americans, I believe it was around 66, 68, thereabout, they went to India for a certain excursion or something. And when they arrived, they met the Indians barefoot or barefooted. Many of the young boys on the streets, everybody walking barefoot. While the other people saw poverty, one of the men who went saw opportunity. He said, these people are poor, they can't afford anything. Let me manufacture for them. Think rubber slippers, rubber, plastic. I don't know how to call it. Rubber footwears that they can put their foot, not this type, rubber, plastic. He went back to America, mass produced them, shipped them. The Indians were very happy that they could have something to wear. They bought it at peanut price. That was enough to make that man a generational wealthy man. I'll try and find out the name of that person. Shoe manufacturer. Because he was not trying to make money. He was trying to meet needs that he saw. In the process of meeting the needs that he saw, he couldn't escape wealth. Am I communicating at all? Open your eyes. Don't struggle to do what everybody else is doing. Open your eyes and see where needs can be met. The second thing I will say is this. What you make happen for others determines what God makes happen for you. How does this have to do with money? It does. What you make happen for others determines what God makes happen for you. Let me say it like this. When you fulfill the vision, when you fulfill vision for people, you get your vision fulfilled without struggle. Say that again. When you fulfill the vision of people, you get your own vision fulfilled without struggle. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. It says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Anything you want people to do for you, do for them. It was Zig Ziglar who said, you can get anywhere you want to get to in life. If you can assist as many people as possible, get where they want to get to. You can get anywhere you want to get to in life. When Joseph saw the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt depressed in the prison, when he said, what is wrong with you? Why is your countenance sad? Listen to what I'm about to say. It was not money he was trying to make. It was not a position he was looking for. He wanted to offer satisfaction. He wanted to eliminate frustration. When was the last time you decided that it's not money you are trying to make, but you want to eliminate people's frustration? You are driving from work and you saw the road filled with people. No vehicle to transport them.
and you decided, God, give me money to put vehicles on this route to help these people to go home on time. They will pay something for it. You fulfill their vision. You fulfill your vision. You won't be a poor man. Am I communicating? It was not money Joseph was trying to make. It was meaning he was creating. And then he interpreted the dream for them. He didn't say, this is the bill for the dream. $5,000 per dream. Or 500 naira per dream. It was free of charge. But when the returns came, and Pharaoh and they spoke about Joseph to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh called Joseph, he remained in that wealth for the rest of his life, and the wealth passed to his generation. I want somebody to have a paradigm shift. Just change your mind a bit. Lord, show me problems to solve. Show me needs to meet. Show me answers to provide to my generation. And you offer it modestly. Not like Shylock. Not cutthroat. Modestly. With all the love you possess. You are happy. Seeing people happy. At the end of the day, you will never be a poor man. Let God be true. And let every devil be a liar. Can you lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, I receive the grace to meet the needs of my generation. Say it, open my eyes to see the needs that exist so I can meet them. Open my eyes to see the needs. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let me give you an example. Supposing you build a block of 10 one-bedroom, 10 one-bedroom, either self-contained or one-bedroom flat, room and parlor, 10 of them. And because of how costly the houses are in town, maybe you built it in a part of town where such a house, 10 of them, is 1 million, let's say, or 10 of them. Is 500, or each of them is, let's say, 1 million for one bedroom flat in a good place in town where it costs up to that. And you say, all of you tenants, these are 10 houses. I want you to make sure you don't fail in paying your 1 million every year. Let's sign an agreement. And I will do something at the end of 10 years. And then at the end of 10 years, which is, they have paid 10 million, 15 years, 20 years, whatever, and they have paid 15, 20 million. And you know that what they have paid you is two times the unit cost of each. So you know what? It's an agreement. This is more like a mortgage arrangement. Just be faithful in your tenancy. At the end of 10 years, it is yours. When was the last time you heard of such a thing? When was the last time you heard of such a thing in Africa, in Nigeria? That is, at the end of the day, you have provided housing for a generation of people. You are not empty-handed. Before this one is over, you move somewhere else to build another 20. Before this one is over, you move somewhere else to build another 40. People are succeeding. Becoming free from terrible and wicked landlords. I'm sorry to use the word. Because there are so many landlords who take advantage of the stranded nature of people. Very plenty of them. And then, you have done that. In fact, people started with you with the understanding that the time will come, they will own this house. Huh? They will take care of the house. It's their own. This house is yours. And it can be leased to buy. You are leasing to buy. Rent to buy. Do you understand? So there are many, many things you, many ways your eyes can be opened. This is your house. So he won't destroy the paint. He will be painting it. He will be decorating it. Even if you added some interest to the original house rent, he will gladly pay. He will look for money everywhere to pay. Because he knows after some years it is his house. I'll just say something to someone now. Does that make sense to you? What if you give an Uber driver a car? You say, make double of the money that I used to buy this car. The car is yours. Just make the double of the money that it cost me to buy the car. Take it. He will walk day and night. He will walk day and night. If the car has challenge, he will challenge the challenge. This car, you are my own. You are my own. You can't mess up, you are my own. Whatever happens, you are my car. He will challenge the challenge. He will take the car to the mechanic and repair it without your notice. But if it is a normal boss and subordinate, he will be cheating you, him and the mechanic will be conniving. They will remove the parts from the car, your car, and sell it back to you. They say carburetor is bad. It's your carburetor. They carry it. They say we got a new one. He's cheating, but this car is your own. He will be the one to deal with the mechanic. You say the price of the carburetor is what? How? I will be there when you are repairing it. Let me see the one you changed. Double the amount I used to buy this car. The car is yours. He doubles it for you in 6 months. You bought two new ones. He goes with this one. In fact, he may give it to somebody else and continue working for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I wish that the first service people will listen to this second message. If you will love people like you love yourself, people will thank you for helping them, and you won't be a poor person. If you will, that was what Bill Gates did. As he was growing, he made everybody a co-owner of Microsoft. You are no longer an employee, own it with me. So as they grew, about how many of them were billionaires on the spot? On the list of world billionaires. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. All of them had shares. So they were working for themselves. The more the shares went up, the more they all increased. So they were not working for a man anymore. And they all exploded together. Because they realized this is not his company, it's our company. This is not his organization, it's our organization. And that is why he's where he is today. Attempting to control everything. I see somebody going places. May God give you, from the examples I have shared, may God give you ideas that will help you to impact your world. Ideas that will help you to explode your generation. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Invest in areas of human need. Help people's vision to come to pass. And you will struggle to fulfill your own vision. Vision for housing. Vision for financial independence. Vision for transportation. Restaurant food feeding vision. You know, they began to take food home to people. You place an order. The courier person brings food home to you. Some people saw that. Not everybody wants to go and sit out in the restaurant. They like the food, but they want to be at home. And all of that kind of ideas began to come. So people began to think, okay, let me offer this kind of service this way. And then you advertise it, people will run for it. Because that is a need that must be met. Destiny Christian Academy did not start because we wanted to start school like everybody. And I will tell you the story. Neither were we looking for money at all. And up till today, I have not seen one dime from there. Right? It's being used. We just saw that there are working class people in church. Some of them couldn't have house help. Very busy women and men who go to work in the morning in Abuja, which is more like a working place. And the only thing is there a way church can help take care of their children while they go to work? That was where Destiny Christian Academy started, as a crèche. Baby, taking care of people's babies, members' babies, while they go to work. Just pay a token because the staff will need to be paid. And all of that, which they did. And it grew from there to nursery, nursery to primary, primary to secondary. And that secondary now is one of the top rated secondaries in this town today. And then from secondary to university in a short while. Hallelujah. And people are so happy. There are parents who told us, my children started with this school from nursery. Please help us have university so that they can just finish with it. So that there can be continuity of what they have been taught and imparted. So let us try and just meet needs. Create the difference in the lives of people. Help people. Make answers available. And supply will not be lacking. Finally, number 7. Engage multiple channels of inflow as much as you can. Engage multiple channels of inflow as much as you can. Multiple channels. What is the meaning of that? Don't let your life be limited or tied down by just one source of income. For many reasons. One source. Maybe salary source. What is the advantage of this? I'll give 2. Number 1. It ensures multiple channels of income ensures or guarantees the capacity to survive all times, seasons, situations, and circumstances of life. It guarantees the capacity, gives you the capacity to survive the times, the seasons, the situations, and circumstances of life. What is the meaning of that? That is, when it is dry season for one business, it may be rainy season for the other. When it is downtime for one, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I believe verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Alright, verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand. That is, invest here, invest there. For you don't know which one shall prosper, or either this or that, or whether they both are alike. When there was famine in the whole earth, Jacob still had resources. See Genesis 43 verse 11. When he sent his children back to Pharaoh, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessel. He still had fruit. Carry down to the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds. Keep going, verse 13. And take double money in your hand. So, there was famine, but Jacob had money. He had almond, he had honey. I am fully convinced that while it was scarcity for others,
He had streams coming to him by virtue of reserve he had maintained before, and also current streams. So he wasn't stranded. He wasn't stranded. Why is multiple streams important? Number two, multiple channels gives God different platforms. Channels or avenues to release His blessing on. Multiple channels gives God different platforms, channels or avenues to release His blessing on. If you have one channel, the blessing is on that channel. If you have on two channels, the blessing is on two channels. And Deuteronomy 28 verse 8 said it clearly. The Lord shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses. So he expects you to have more than a storehouse. And in all that thou settest thy hand unto. He didn't say in what you set your hand, in all. As many as you can set your hand on without confusion, that will not cause you to lose focus. On all you set your hand on, the blessing is coming. Your hand is on famine, livestock famine. Your hand is on the transportation business. Your hand is laid on foods and beverages. You have a restaurant, or you are bottling juice or water or something. On all that thou settest your hand, this blessing is on this, my blessing is on this, and my blessing is on that. If it is one, the blessing is on one, that one will add increase to you. But when it's here and there, again, without confusion and with focus, it can stream your way multiple resources. Somebody say amen. Is anybody getting anything at all here? All I can say is, if you have a salary, try and see if there can be something else that can bring income to you. I'll give you one tiny example. Many years ago, in Area 1 church, we had a young girl that was a cleaner. One day I saw her standing with a young man and talking. So I went close to her and said, who is this young man you are talking with? This girl was a cleaner in church. Do you know what she said? She said, he works for me. Wow. My antennas went up. A cleaner has an employee. He works for me. So I said, so what work does he do for you? He says, he sells for me recharge cards. And I give him commission on what he sells. This young girl has left. It's not a cleaner, longest time. While earning salary from the church as a cleaner, she has an employee. So her life and destiny was not tied on cleaner salary. She rapidly wangled her way from that level and is sowing. I don't know what you are, but you can have an employee. You can have a staff. You can have someone work for you. I don't know what your level is. So no matter what it is, if you will be confused doing many things, at least add one to your source of income. At least one more thing. You are a government contractor. Congratulations. There are those who they haven't paid their contract money for the last 10 years. Maybe a new government came into power. Don't tie your life to such uncertainty. Look for, ensure you add one more thing. Minimum. To what you do, so that God can release the blessing on that one more thing.
It can be some banking instruments. It can be treasury, whatever. Just add something to ensure that you are not stranded. Can somebody say amen? Can I ask you a question? How much did you pay for this business seminar? If you were to go to Harvard, or you were to go to Princeton or Yale or something, I'm sure you know what you have to pay. But Bible says freely we have received, freely give. I announce to you today, you are going to explode into massive financial resources that will shake you and shake your generation. You believe that? Say loud amen. You believe that? Say loud amen. You believe that? Shout it loud, most amen. Finally, this morning, I'll give you two examples of people that had multiplied streams. Look at King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 29. All right, 1 Kings 10, if you read verse 23 first. 1 Kings 10, 23 to 25. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God has put in his heart. You see? So to me, I will call Solomon a public speaker. But in this case, he was speaking the wisdom of God. You know, there are people in America, they call public speakers motivational speakers. They are just speakers. What are their names? Zig Ziglar is a Christian man, top man among them. John Maxwell is a leadership speaker. Barbara Tracy, several of these people. And these people get millions, billions. Now, that was what you might call Solomon, the equivalent of in his days. Let's read it again. And they came from the whole world to listen to Solomon. And they brought everyone his present as they came. They paid him with silver. They paid him with gold. They paid him with garments. They paid him armor. They paid him spices, horses, mules, rate year by year. Even though he may not have charged them, but they paid for his speech. Because they must have utilized his speech and saw the result. Look at that. Verse 26. Alright. And that one. For any normal person, if you had such a career, a profession, where you speak, people pay you gold and silver, it would have been enough. I have made it. But not Solomon. Look at verse 29. Solomon had another income source. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of Hittites and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. Look at the Living Bible translation so you can understand it. Of the same passage, Living Bible translation, the Living Bible. It will tell you how Solomon was buying. An Egyptian's chariot was delivered to Jerusalem at the cost of $400. And the horses were valued at $150 each. So, many of these were then resold to the Hittite and Syrian kings. He was buying chariots at $150, selling them at $400. And the kings were rushing to buy it because it was Solomon who was selling it. Solomon bought and sold chariots. It's like buying and selling limousines. It's like buying and selling aircrafts. He had a primary source of income. Other income sources that we may not go into now, or that may not be fiscally obvious, but again, plus the heavy wealth Solomon had, he was still buying and selling. How much wealth you have that you have decided to settle where you are? If you don't need the money from yourself, get the money and say, would you like to go to Pakistan again? How much is the cost of the crusade? I write down the check. That's what Solomon. Solomon had multiple streams. Now look at our master Jesus. Even though that looked like a bit of a difference, but it's the same thing to me. In Luke chapter 8 and in verse 3. And Joanna, the wife. Okay, let's start from verse 2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, they ministered to him from their substance. So the channel of ministration, financial release, was coming to Jesus from the wife of Cusa, who was Herod's business manager. It was coming from Susanna. It was coming from different channels. So not one person can hold Jesus' life and ministry to ransom. Channels were multiplied. That is how it is in the realm of the business. And that is how it should be for every sensible church or ministry. Don't let one man pocket the ministry as the sponsor. Otherwise, you are in trouble. One man is responsible. I say, if this man is the sole financier of the church, is the funder, is the one behind that ministry. I hear that there was a ministry where there were certain people identified as financiers. So the pastor preached a brutal message one day. And one of them said, be careful. Don't talk like this next time. Don't talk like this next time. I mean, you are not aware that we are around. Don't talk like this next time. Otherwise, we withdraw our support. That would be a pitiable state for any man or woman to be. From the scratch of this ministry till date, the only funder is Jesus. The only financier is Jesus. Not one man can claim I am the one behind the ministry, except the one who is trying to die. Oh yes, you take the glory of God, you are gone. But nobody shall die before their time. Somebody say a louder amen. And that's how it is. Whatever you do for a living, don't allow one channel to determine your destiny. Don't allow your destiny to be tied to one channel. Multiply it. And it's a new day. Somebody is blessed. Is anybody more blessed than this pastor here? As blessed as myself. Alright, stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. A louder shout of victory. Hey! Give the Lord a bigger, bigger, bigger clap and a louder shout. I announce to somebody here, today is the beginning of the explosions you've been trusting God in your life. In Jesus' name. What have we said for today? Four things. Number one, that you should maintain financial records. Number two, that you should do what you know and ensure that you know what to do. Number five or six, that you invest in areas of human need. Don't just try to make money. Find out how to help people. And while you are doing that, the supplies will come. And then number seven, we talk about engage multiple channels of inflow so that God can have many platforms he can use to release the blessing. And then you will not be a stranded person. When the devil thought he wants to attack you here, the flow is coming from the other source. And then before you know it, this one resurrects back. You want to do this, another flow is coming from the other source. It's a new day for you. Say a loud amen. Somebody bless, say amen. Well, lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the adoration. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Lift your voice at this moment and pray after me and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. Thank you For speaking to me.
For speaking to me.
Today.
Today.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To maintain.
To maintain.
Financial records.
Financial records.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To know what I do.
To know what I do.
And to do what I know.
To do what I know.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To invest.
To invest.
In human needs.
Human needs.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To engage multiple channels. Of inflow as much as possible. Help me, Lord, to serve you in my generation with my resources. Help me, Lord, not to be wanting. In the name of Jesus, go on ahead and speak to God. Help me, Lord. Pray. In the name of Jesus, in all, I can say that we need the wisdom of God and the guidance of God to know where to put the resources. If I'm to go to for multiple channels, which and which should I go? Even though we have said it in some ways in the areas of human need, but Lord, help me with the wisdom and guidance not to go in the wrong direction. Lift your voice and say, Father, I receive the wisdom. I receive the guidance not to go in the wrong direction. In the name of Jesus, I receive the wisdom. I receive the guidance. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, go on ahead, open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus, the Lord heard and the Lord answered us. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father, for hearing. And thank you for answering. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody gave me the name of the of that person that I talked about, the footwear. Harry Akiarwal. He's the founder of Active Wear, which began in 83. Price is under $10 and he's worth $9 billion. Looking at the need of people who have no shoes. And they say, let me make them a cost-effective plastic shoe so they can have what to wear. At the end of the day, it translated into billions. I believe that is a new day for somebody. On Friday night, we prayed for financial mantle. And I'm going to do that today in this service. Take your seat. Let's take a look at the Worship and Wonders Night, which was the all-night healing and deliverance service. Crusade. This was Friday, this Friday night.
yesterday for evangelism.
Today, I want to announce to you that your struggle, your begging, your borrowing, your affliction is over forever in the name of Jesus. Tonight, we want to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. To accept that work of Jesus, that work of God. Jesus walked on the cross of Calvary.
That woman was paralyzed for over a year. Right hand would not lift, and right leg as well, and then the right ear. Give the Lord the praise. The earth has been filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. The same mantle is coming upon somebody. And if you are ready for that mantle, let's celebrate God for 5 minutes. It's a testimony. Wait a minute. We have children, right, for dedication? All right, let's celebrate God for 5 minutes. And then, if you have a testimony yet to be shared, 5 minutes, you have a testimony to be shared that is not yet shared, one of our officers will receive the testimonies. Let's go. Celebration. Can we stand up on our feet? Are you trusting God for that mantle of wealth of supernatural supplies? Stand, let's celebrate. Just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. After the celebration and the impartation, please, locations, feel free to go ahead with your dedications and thanksgiving service in the locations. Let's go.
Not just ego, you are not just God, you are God, you are God. You are not just ego, you are not just God, you are great God. Oh, you are God. You are not just ego, you are not just God, you are great God. Oh, you are God.
You are
God.
You are God.
And you
My guy's leg is moving at the speed of light, faster than the drum beat. Hallelujah! Lift your two hands everywhere you are and just receive an impartation to the toast to dedicate your children. Please get set. Please, I beg you, don't move until we are done in the next 10 minutes. God bless you. Lift your hands up. Ask the Lord to lay his hands upon you. On your head and blast in tongues at the top of your voice. Father, let the fire fall. Let fresh grace fall. Let the mantle of supply. Let this mantle bring direction. Let it bring guidance. Let it bring clarity to the people. In the name of Jesus. When I say the name of Jesus, what you bring, still I receive. And place the hand on your head. Let that mantle fall. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. A new day for you.
Amen.
A new season for you.
Amen.
The doors open. Ears open. Eyes open. Understanding is open. So the plan of God and the will of God for this season. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
While we are in this mood, anywhere you are before we take the testimonies, anywhere you are, in need of surrender to Jesus, also before we do the dedication of chaplain, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, you want today to mark a new day in your life, you place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. It is well with my soul. In the name of Jesus. Quickly pick your Bibles and bags. And you pray that prayer. Quickly come to the front. Be the first. The rest of us take your seat. Please come.
He's waiting for
no.
Is well in the name.
I give you the count of 10. 1.
In my soul today.
2.
In the name of Jesus.
Well.
2.
Oh,
in the name of Jesus.
3. Negative lifestyle you are not happy with, you know God is not happy with, drinking, smoking, womanizing, masturbation, fraud, gambling, you know God is not happy with them, and you are saying, Pastor, I want to be free. Quickly come again at the count of 10. Go ahead. 1. Lift your hand on your chest, pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you all today. I declare that the hold of sin be broken off your life. The grace to live for God be released upon you. And I declare it is done. In Jesus' precious name. Say a louder amen. Amen. Say the loudest amen. Amen. You're welcome. We are happy. Counselors, you can. Some of them came for the dedication, so maybe they can be around this place until the dedication is done. We're happy to have you. And the squad 1,000 souls, I like us not to I'm going to actually have a meeting with all of us so that we can determine whether we are willing to go on with the assignment or we want to do otherwise. But I want us to know that we have given God a promise God will do his part as we do our own. You can imagine that hectic vigil. We left there, woke up, and still went out in the evening for crusade. And the journey continues. God is using your shepherd to show you what to do, especially in the area of soul winning. Don't lag behind. Don't lag behind at all, because we'll be without excuse. There are assemblies where the pastor is not doing so much in terms of winning any soul. Not this one. The example is too much for you. But I believe that fresh grace is coming upon you to do the right thing. In Jesus' name. Counselors.